Welcome, and thank you for joining our monthly Conscious Dating Teleseminar. This seminar series is designed to help you find the love of your life and the life that you love. Please mark your calendar and be sure to join us on the first Thursday of each month for outstanding, one-of-a-kind programs you will not want to miss. I'm David Steele, founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and Relationship Coaching Network, which will soon be renamed Conscious Relationship Network. I'm the author of Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World, a book that took me 8 years to research and write. Joining me is Frankie Doran, who is the president of Conscious Relationship Network. Our mission is to do everything in our power to help you find your life partner. For example, on the third Thursday of each month, Frankie and I conduct a free monthly conscious dating teleclinic to provide you real-time live coaching and relationship advice. For more information, visit www.consciousdatingteleclinic.com. We are absolutely serious about our commitment to helping you have fulfilling relationships, and we're excited you're here with us this evening. Tonight, our program is Conscious Dating for Boomers, Finding Love After 50. How appropriate. You know, Frankie, this is my 50th year on Earth. I'm having my 50th birthday this year.
Well, happy birthday, David, and I'm not quite there yet.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's an inside joke.
If you do not have the study guide for tonight's program, you will want it. Please go to www.consciousdating.com/boomers.htm to download and print a copy. We're going to give you a lot of important information that you'll probably want to remember, and the study guide will make it easier to follow along and take notes. We'll be referring to the study guide as we go along as well. Just to make it interesting, we left some blank spaces for you to fill in. But don't worry, we'll give you the answers. We've received many emails from members of our network with questions and challenges about dating after 50, and we hope that tonight's programs will answer most of them. If you have questions that you would like addressed in our seminars or during our Conscious Dating Teleclinic, please go to askconsciousdating.com. That's A-S-K, askconsciousdating.com. Here's a few questions that we've been asked recently. Nita asked, why is it men at 50 just want younger women and ignore women regardless of age who have substance and knowledge and vibrancy and zest for life? So what do women over 50 do when they get bypassed by men just because of their age? That is probably the most common lament we've been hearing. And Nellie asked, many men prefer women much younger than them and will reject a woman who's 60 and older. I'm active and I think I look quite good. Yet if I'm honest about my age, most men will not consider me, despite the fact I'm often healthier and in better shape than they are. And then Roger, this is coming from the other side of the coin. He asked, what does it take for a man in his middle to late 50s to get women in their late 30s or early 40s to look at him as a serious possibility for a mate? I'm tired of the stereotype that we're good for nothing but women in their 50s. That is way too old to even consider marriage. Wow. I'm sure there's some women that are feeling their hackles rise on that one that are on the line right now. Jane asked, I'm 58, newly single, married for 34 years, and never thought I would ever be single again. I find the idea of dating very daunting and overwhelming. I'm worried about being deceived because everyone in our age has a past. I also want to know, how can you take it slow, not be pressured into intimacy while you get to know someone? These are great questions, and it's just a sample of the many we've received. Really good stuff. Keep them coming. In this program, you'll discover the truth about dating after 50, including information about the singles lifestyle, the types of single men and women over 50, the types of daters and non-daters over 50. We'll also cover the benefits of dating when you're over 50. Believe it or not, there are benefits. And the top 3 dating traps facing boomers, and our top 10 tips for finding a partner over 50. So, Frankie, who are baby boomers? What are we talking about?
Boomers are individuals who were born between 1946 and 1964. And you and I are boomers.
Yep.
And actually, this year is the first year that we'll have a baby boomer turning 61.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
49% of boomers make up what's called the core group of the generation. And these people were born between 1951 and 1959. So that's a huge chunk of that population. And as a whole, boomers are considered to be the wealthiest to date of all generations. Lifestyle and health are important to us. We're young at heart. We expect comfort, convenience, and fun. And interestingly enough, the gap in life expectancy for men and women in this generation is narrowing. And our average life expectancy is currently estimated at 83 years of age.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And boomers are typically well-educated. We respect knowledge and technology because we were raised with technology. And according to the American Association of Retired Persons, to a survey, 63% of us feel younger than our age, and almost 80% of us expect to work after we retire. So this is a generation whose attitudes about aging are really creating a paradigm shift. You know, what was considered old a generation or two ago no longer fits with the attitudes and outlook of the boomers. Now, David, I know you have a lot of interesting information in a study. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. In researching for this program, I came across a gold mine of information about single baby boomers in a study that was done by AARP in 2003. That's the American Association of Retired Persons. And the study's called Lifestyle, Dating, and Romance, a Study of Midlife Singles. And there's a link to it in your study guide. You can check it out for yourself. And they did a survey of 3,500 single men and women, ages 40 to 69. And they came up with some really interesting data that we're going to share with you. Right now, I'm on page 2 of the study guide, and I'm not going to, you know, read it word for word. I'm just going to mention some things and comment on it. So one thing that's interesting is the Census Bureau reported that there are 34.4 million singles or unmarried persons in the United States ages 40 to 69. So given that there are 101, the numbers vary, you know, from 90 to 100 million singles in the United States total, about 35 million of these are baby boomers. And 34% of the baby boomers are single.
That's now, a huge chunk.
The majority of the singles that are baby boomers are women at the rate of 3 women for every 2 men. And disparity does grow with age because women do tend to live a little longer than men, but that is narrowing as well. Men are having a longer life expectancy and they're catching up to women. Or maybe women are not living as healthy a life and they're coming down to where men are. Who knows? So the older singles that, you know, look around and their fear is that, oh my God, there's like 10 women for every single man. Well, the actual data is that there are 3 women for every 2 men. But doesn't matter what the numbers are. We're going to share with you some very interesting information about those numbers pretty shortly.
David?
Yeah.
I think this is a great opportunity for women to look to younger men. What do you think?
Well, we're about to get to that. Now, if you go a little further down on page 2 under single lifestyle and see older versus younger, what the AARP found in their survey was that most older men want to date younger women. And most older women, by choice or by need is their wording, also want to date younger men. So what's up with that? Everybody wants to date somebody younger. So women, although they tend to complain a lot about the men only seem interested in younger women, you know, the women are looking for younger men as well in large numbers. So what do you think of that, Frankie?
Well, you know I'm married to a younger man.
Yeah.
And what I come across this really quite frequently in my coaching with single women who are over 50. They exclude men who are under 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, why not just, you know, open up the boundaries? Look beyond your age group. And it's like a light bulb goes off.
And you know what? My sweetheart is 5 years older than I am.
There you go.
I've always liked older women. So I don't know if I'm bucking the trend or what, but I think both of us are examples that, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
And it really doesn't matter what the numbers are, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So what else can we share with you at this point? You know, we all know that women want companionship and security, and men really would like to have sex built in. And although women want sex too, and sometimes we get complaints from the women that the men aren't, you know, as interested in sex as they get older. In fact, I think one of the programs we're going to have to do, Frankie, in the near future is sex and the senior citizen.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Let's see, so what else?
But we have to redefine senior.
Well, I think you're right, and that is a debate for another day.
Yeah.
Now, on the bottom of page two, one thing I find very interesting is that in the survey, they found that the most reliable, the most common way that baby boomers find dates is through friends, relatives, and work. And it reinforces what I've intuitively known and the data that I've seen, that most people find their soulmate through somebody they already know.
Yes, that's true.
Let's see, what else? Beyond dating. Now, here's where, you know, when you get older and you've been married once or twice, getting married again is not a high priority. But you still want a companion. You still want the security of a committed relationship. You still want to be with one person. You still want to grow old with somebody. And I call that a committed relationship. If your intention, your desire is to be with one person for the rest of your life, I call that a commitment. Now, whether it's marriage or not, when you're a baby boomer and you've already been married and your kids are grown, you know, getting married again is not necessarily a high priority. But most people that I talk to say that they would love to get married again if the right person came along. And I've heard that term a lot, if the right person came along. And we're going to talk more about that as well. Now, I'm on page three, by the way. On living arrangements, living alone is the norm. About half of baby boomer singles live alone. And then the rest live with a child or a grandchild, adult children, family members. Some have roommates, and some even live with their parents. And single men are slightly more likely than single women to live alone. We're talking about 56% versus 44%. That's not a huge difference.
David, I call that the club sandwich generation, because some baby boomers live with their aging parents and their children, and maybe even grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
Under, you know, so...
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's a double-decker sandwich.
Yeah, the club sandwich, right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on activities, as far as what the surveyed singles like to do, guess what is at the top of the list? Watching television. And 6% report being very active, 57% are active, and 28% are not active at all. They're sedentary. The most common activities in rank order, television is at the top, spending time with family, reading, playing with pets, socializing with friends, something spiritually religious, and going down the list. We have the whole list for you here.
But David, I would say the top four are not going to bring someone into your life.
Right.
They're pretty solitary activities.
Right. They are very solitary, isolating activities.
Mm.
Now, women are more likely than men to want to focus time with their family, especially when they get older. And reading, you know, women read more than men as well, especially as they get older. And women are more than twice the rate of men involved in spiritual or religious activities. Now, what the heck does this say about men, Frankie? They're not interested in their families, they don't like to read, and they're not spiritual.
And they just want sex, David.
The wording is they're not, you know, they're less likely. Now, there's lots of men that, you know, are involved with their families and are spiritual and read.
Yeah.
Okay, so Frankie, why don't you run us through the types of single men over 50?
Okay. Well, based on this survey, there are four types of single men over 50.
And this is on page 4, by the way.
Yeah. And the first type are the shy guys. These are the ones who are likely to be either widowed or never married. They'd love to date, but they may not be trying to date. I guess they're watching TV. Maybe they are playing with their pet. Maybe they've given up because of shyness or problems finding a date. Then the next category is dreamers. And these are likely to be looking really seriously for dates, but not having much luck. And mainly, it's because they want to date the physically attractive woman, and they're not meeting new people. So maybe Roger is a dreamer. I don't know. Maybe he's on the line. Maybe we can talk to him. Then the third type is the swashbuckler. And these are the guys who are likely to be very active. They're healthy. They're confident, probably sexy. They love the single life. They've dated more. They have more sex than the shy guys and the dreamers. That's not a big surprise. And they like to play the field and have multiple relationships. Then the final type is the Romeo. And these are the guys who are likely to be very happy and optimistic and self-confident, but they're probably also in a committed relationship. And makes sense, they engage in a lot of sexual activity and are apt to have no dating problems. So those are the four types of single men over 50.
So what's really interesting about this, if you are a single woman over 50, take a look at these types of guys and realize that the Romeos, they are so relationship-oriented, they don't want to be alone. They're already with somebody. And when they're single, they don't stay single for very long. And the swashbucklers, you know, those are players. Those are the ones that are having so much fun being single and the single life and having a lot of sex and going on cruises and whatever else. You know, they're not really available for a committed relationship or the kind of relationship that you might want. They're a lot of fun, though, so, you know, if you like that, then go for it. But take a look at the shy guys and the dreamers. The shy guys, you know, they like to be in a relationship, but they find dating really, really hard. And when you're older and you get set in your ways and you don't take as many risks and you find comfort in your routines, then you're not going to get out there as much if you find dating, you know, difficult. And shy guys are more likely to be either widowed or never married. However, they are interested in dating. That's the key. And the dreamers, you know, these are the ones that have, you know, big dreams and fantasies, and, you know, they're not very successful in following them. And, you know, they might be absorbed in their fantasy about, you know, the young, buxom blonde that they want to date. However, if you meet a dreamer and you connect with them one-on-one, there is certainly lots of room for love and connection, that these men are very willing to give up their fantasies for something real that's right in front of them if you can connect with them, if you can get them away from their fantasies. So we have some hope here, gals, because of the four types, you know, two of them are very, very, very available. Now, in the middle of the page, on page 4, we have the types of single women over 50. And AARP has categorized them into four types. And the first type is the passionate lovers. These are healthy women. They're likely to be well off financially. They're also more likely to be romantically involved with someone. And, you know, they're already having a lot of sex and, you know, they don't have any problems dating. So if you're a guy, you know, chances are, if you're single, these women are already involved with somebody. They're already, you know, unavailable. The second type is women ISOs, and ISO stands for in search of. They are seeking partnership. They want to date, and they are trying hard to do so. They're likely to be divorced, very active, healthy, you know, more affluent than the average single woman. Their biggest frustration is not knowing where to meet people and meeting too few people to date. And most of the women that we've heard from in AskConsciousDating.com would fall into this category. The third category is aspiring Cinderellas. And like the dreamers, You know, they dream, and I think they might fall into the rescue trap as well. You know, wanting a relationship, wanting some guy to come along and make everything better for them. They're likely to be in fair or poor health and lower than average income. They're not too happy with themselves or their life. And they, you know, really would like somebody to take care of them and make them happy. And some in this category, like the shy guys, they might have lost interest in dating. It's more of a wish or a fantasy for them, but they don't really go out and do much about it. Now, the fourth category of single women over 50 is the satisfied singles. These are women who are quite fine and happy being single. Thank you very much. They are likely to be widowed or retired, living in their own homes. They miss having someone around to do things with, but they're not dating and they're not necessarily looking for a date because they have built a life that they're quite content with. And the interesting thing is, a lot of them say that they would date if the right person came along. And so if you are a single man over 50, or you are a single woman over 50 and scoping out the competition, get a load of this. The passionate lovers, they're already in a relationship. The ISOs, you know, those are the ones that are really working hard, and, you know, you might be one of them. The Cinderellas, they're wishing and dreaming, and they're in poor health, and they're not doing that great. And, you know, men tend to stay away from them. And then the satisfied singles are not interested in dating. So if you want a date and you're over 50 and you're a woman, these really even out your odds. Frankie, why don't you talk about the types of daters and non-daters, because then it gets even more interesting.
Okay. Well, before I do that, I want to make a comment about the ISOs, because I deal with a lot of wonderful women who say to me, you know, where do I meet someone? It's not so much about the where, because men are everywhere. It's about learning how to initiate conversation, learning how to break the ice, learning how to engage a shy man. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on, but I think that's important. Men are everywhere. Just open your eyes. But if you don't say anything, you don't smile, you've missed an opportunity. So let's talk about the types of daters and non-daters. The majority date, and we're on page 5 now, date either exclusively or non-exclusively. As David said before, a large portion, especially older women, take a pass on dating and sex. And 7% of men and 3% of women report same-sex dating partners. So let's take a look at the types of daters. And the first is exclusive daters. And those are people who are dating someone exclusively or are in a relationship. And these people generally find it easier than other singles to find dates. They're more open to dating different types of people, and they're more likely to date someone with less money. So they've created a bigger pond to fish in, basically. They're not limiting themselves, and they're getting results by doing that. Exclusive daters are more open to living with others, perhaps because they've already done so. Perhaps, as David said before, they've already been married a couple of times. They don't want to get married again, so cohabitation is what they prefer to do. They're most likely to be engaged in a variety of sexual activities and to be satisfied with the frequency of their sexual activity, which is a nice thing. And they also are most active in a variety of life activities. So if you look at David's three attraction venues, they're out there. They're living their lives. They're experiencing the things that they want to experience in their life. And it's no wonder that they're being successful. David, do you want to talk about the next group?
Okay. The next group is the non-exclusive daters. This is equivalent to our recreational dating and conscious dating, where, you know, they want to have fun. They're not exclusive. They date more than one person. However, this category can be further divided into infrequent and frequent non-exclusive daters. So according to the survey, the infrequent ones have gone out on fewer than three dates in a year. The frequent non-exclusive daters date three or more persons in a year. Now, the frequent dater category, they tend to socialize with friends more often. They tend to have an easier time finding a date. They give more importance to physical attractiveness, and they give more importance to sexual compatibility. And what's really interesting is that the non-exclusive daters tend to be men, and they tend to have a more active sexual life, and they also tend to be open to dating different types of people and to be more aggressive in finding dates. And the infrequent non-exclusive daters, if you think about it, they're not exclusive in that they're not interested in a relationship. They don't want to be with one person. But they do want companionship. They do want somebody to talk to. They do want to have fun. You know, they want to find people who they have common interest in and share activities with. But they're not interested in a relationship. I've met a lot of older men like this. You know, they just want to be left alone. They don't want to be isolated, but they want to live their own life. And I've met a lot of women like that as well. Non-exclusive daters tend to be more creative and aggressive in searching for dates and finding dates. So if you are on the internet or you are in singles venues where you see baby boomers or older people, you might be frustrated by the fact that some of them are not interested in a relationship. They're not interested in commitment. They just want to have fun. And this isn't exclusive to baby boomers. This is true for all age groups, that there are, you know, at least three kinds of dating relationships. And the two of them that we consider to be, you know, most functional are recreational dating and committed dating. Recreational dating is non-exclusive, and, you know, you just want to have fun. You're not ready for or wanting a committed relationship. And it's a very valid state of being and lifestyle. And there's times in your life where that's very, very appropriate. And then committed dating is where you want to find your life partner. That's your priority. You're done with fun. You're satiated on fun. You've sowed your wild oats. You want to settle down with somebody. And these are basically two different interest groups. And it doesn't work very well when they find each other and date each other. So don't get discouraged if you find somebody like this. If you're a recreational dater and every woman that you date seems to want to marry you or is looking for exclusivity, and don't get frustrated if you're a woman and every guy that you meet seems to want to jump into bed and not interested in a commitment, because for every one that you meet like that, there are plenty like the other that are interested in commitment or are interested in fun.
And David, just to add to that, if you take a look at where that person has come from, and by that I mean if they've just exited a long-term marriage, it makes perfect sense that they want to date non-exclusively, recreational date, just have some fun. So just understand that and know where the person's coming from.
Right. So, Frankie, how about telling us about interested daters?
Yeah, well, these are people who've not been dating, but guess what? They're interested in finding a date.
If the right person came along.
If the right person came along. But they have, sadly, the dimmest current life outlook. They're more likely to be depressed or have suffered depression in the past. They have a less active lifestyle. Maybe they would even fall into the dreamer category that we talked about before. They express difficulty in finding dates, and their greatest frustration is being shy as well as meeting too few people. Okay, and again, the same thing that we talked about before is not knowing where to meet people. And these interested daters, obviously they're dissatisfied. They're most dissatisfied with the infrequency of sexual intercourse. They have the highest proportion of never marrieds than any other group. And if you look at the top three changes that they'd like to make to help improve their romantic life, it would be weight loss, overcoming shyness, and improving their financial circumstances. So that's the interested dater.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that are on the call that can relate to that. Now, the next category is daters in waiting. These are people who have not been dating, they're not interested in dating, but they will date if the right person comes along. And they tend to be older than the other groups we're talking about. It's more common among women than among men. It's more common for them to be widowed. They're just disinterested. Kind of like the satisfied singles we were talking about earlier. You know, they're content. They're not necessarily happy and, you know, ecstatic and tiptoeing through the tulips, but, you know, they're not feeling the need to change anything about their life. But if you ask them, they say that they would date if the right person comes along. This is really driving me crazy.
Well, so, David, this is like they're watching TV and they hope the doorbell will ring.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So how last category, Frankie, the disinterested non-dater?
Well, these are people who are the least optimistic about the future. And they're also a little bit older, with a median age of 56. Again, this is a group with a larger proportion of widowed women. They have the lowest incomes and the least active lifestyle. And a disinterested non-dater might be heard to say something like, you know, I'm just not interested in dating. My life is great as it is. I've had all the romance and excitement that I can stand. And I'm just happy living my life and pursuing my interests. You know, that person may say, I don't have a problem dating because I don't date, so I don't have a problem. I've had a very beautiful marriage that lasted 20-some years, and after my husband died, I'm not interested in anyone else. So that's really the disinterested non-dater.
So what's very, very interesting to us as relationship coaches that are very interested in supporting you to be happy and fulfilled and find the love of your life is that if you add up the percentages, if you look on page 5 of the types of daters, exclusive daters, 31%, non-exclusive daters, 32%, interested daters, 13%, daters in waiting, 14%, disinterested non-daters, 9%. Now, I'm not great at math, but I did the math here, and my math tells me that 59% are available. They want to date. They are available to date, but only 32% are doing anything about it. It's like there's this theme that we're catching here, mm-hmm. that for a lot of older singles, dating is a dream, is a wish, and they're not very proactive about it. So the ones that are proactive about it, you know, you have the higher odds. That is what is exciting to me about all this data.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Okay.
So, do you want to talk about how singles over 50 can find love?
Absolutely. You know, after going through all that data, my head is swimming, but I'm just really, really happy to find that, you know, solid information about baby boomer singles. It really, really gives me hope that we know exactly what we're looking at, and it gives us some clarity about what to look for. If you're a woman, look for the shy guys. Look for the dreamers. You know, if you are an interested dater and you realize that you are hanging around in wish land, then get into action and do something about it, and you will increase your odds. If you are dating and you're experiencing frustration and it seems like there's way more single men than women or women than men, you know, you can always look in different places and date differently, but realize just the fact that you're doing something about it increases your odds tremendously over everybody else. So anyway, I can go on and on about that, but you know, go ahead, Frankie. How can we find love over 50?
Well, just to tag on to what you said, it boils down to action. You have to take action. Like any other area of your life, if you don't act, nothing's going to happen. So how to find love after 50? Well, the first thing that I think needs to happen is take stock of your assets. And when we were putting this together, you know, we thought this is really, because we're both over 50, and this is really a wonderful time of life. And there's so many advantages to being over 50. And if you're single, some of those advantages include, you know what, you have accumulated a lot of years of life experience, which means, you know what, you know something about something, right? You know something about life, about people, and yourself. You've had 50-plus years to figure things out. So that's a great asset. You have wisdom, greater wisdom and grace in dealing with people. You've had lots of practice. You may not be the most perfect person in terms of interpersonal skills, but you sure have a lot of years of practice. The next thing is the older a person gets, the more likely he or she will become a conscious dater as opposed to being emotionally or sexually driven. And this is really important. this is something that, as individuals, we struggle with when we're much younger, because it's all about the passion, it's all about the sex. And while that still plays a role in relationships, at least now you've got some wisdom and you can temper the chemistry and the chemical reaction. And that's a good thing. You probably also have more freedom now than what you had when you were in your 30s and 40s. And if you have children, probably for most of you, they're grown or getting to the stage of being self-reliant, which is a great thing. There's nothing more wonderful than raising a family, but it's lovely when they go. David, I can tell you that from firsthand experience. It's lovely when they go. You can afford, most likely, to pursue your interest because, what we said earlier, the boomer generation has more disposable income. So you can do the things you love to do. And this one I love. You know, we're not in college or university, and you don't have to leave a sock on the doorknob to tell your roommate to stay away. You know, you can do whatever you want, which is wonderful. And you don't have to worry probably about establishing your professional self. You're probably at a good point in your career. And you're probably a heck of a lot more interesting now than you were when you were in your 20s. And this one is really important. I think that most people over 50 have a good idea of what's really important to them, but they also know, and I think this is equally significant, they also know what's not so important. Because sometimes when we're younger, we get hung up on things that are really not relevant in the greater scheme of things, and we don't realize that or have the wisdom to understand that until we're older. So you're already there. And lifestyle and health are important to you, and you've got an anti-aging attitude, so that's wonderful. It's about your perspective on life. It's a different perspective than your parents had. And a large part of the boomer population, and there's 76 million in the U.S., and that's about a fourth of the U.S. population, you have the power to set new standards. You can make changes. You can create a new paradigm about how people think about aging. You know, you can drive the development of new products and services for your age group, which is fabulous. And then the last two are wonderful as well. You probably look and feel younger than your age. David, how many people have we talked to on our calls where they said, I don't look my age, I look 10, 15 years younger?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't noticed it until you pointed it out, but yeah.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's true. You know, we don't look like we're 50. We don't look like we're 58. We don't look like our parents looked or our grandparents looked. And the average life expectancy is 83 years. So we have maybe another 30 years that we can enjoy life. And we're healthier, we're fitter. So there are a lot of great things happening in your life if you're over 50.
Well, Frankie, you've certainly inspired me. There are a lot of assets for being over 50.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about the top three dating traps?
Right. I looked through all the 14 dating traps in the Conscious Dating book, and I picked out the top three that I identify that us boomers and older fall into. And, of course, the top one is the scarcity trap. And this is all the thinking that all the good men or women, they've already been taken, or they're dead, or they want younger partners. Or there's more single men than single women, or single women than single men. I've heard it both ways. And the second most common trap that I see is the packaging trap. And this is where we are focusing on the packaging of other people, or we're focusing on our own packaging. You know, we think that our body is aging and unattractive and nobody would want to go out with us and nobody's going to be attracted to us and we wouldn't want to take our clothes off with anybody, certainly not with the lights on. We're uncomfortable with our own aging and our own changes in our body. And we also focus on other people. And I think this is why men would like to have younger women, because they are more visually oriented. They are more sexually interested. And, you know, younger women just look better to them. But you know what? I think it's because they haven't really experienced a woman their age or an older woman, and they're telling themselves a story. And you might know that if you have an attitude or belief, it's self-fulfilling. It's true because you think it's true. But what I'd like to do is knock them upside the head and to let them know that, you know, you need a attitude adjustment here, bud, that, you know, older women are foxy and they're sexy and younger women aren't necessarily where it's at. You know, different strokes for different folks. I'm not going to make you wrong because you're interested in younger women, but don't write off older women either.
David, can we clone you?
Well, I'm trying to, you know, writing articles and books and recording myself on seminars and everything else. So the third most common trap, dating trap that I identify is the fairy tale trap. This is where you desire a partner, but you are stuck by inertia and the status quo. It just seems easier to live life the way it is rather than to do much about changing it. And you also have the mindset that, well, if it's meant to be, it will happen. Or, Frankie, it would be great if the right person comes along. You know,
as my mother used to say, and still says, you know, a man is not going to fall on your head. Right?
Yeah.
He's not. You have to go out and find him.
Right.
So, yes, absolutely. Action. Action.
Recognize those dating traps. And you are over 50 and you'd like to find your life partner. Please be honest with yourself about which one or more than one that you might be falling into. And realize all it takes is an attitude adjustment. All it takes is to change your thinking about it. And during this program, we're trying like heck to do that, to help you do that.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the 10 tips. The first one is remember why you are a catch. You know, you don't have to pretend to be anything you're not. You're an amazing person, and you've got a lot to offer to a lucky partner. The male or female who gets you as a partner is lucky. So the more authentic you are, and I keep harping on this authenticity, but it is so true, you become a magnet that's going to draw the right partner to you.
And Frankie, I keep on quoting you, your soulmate is looking for somebody exactly like you. Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So the more you are authentic, the more you shine as you, the faster that person is going to find you because he or she is looking, you know, for you, exactly you, just as you are. You don't have to pretend to be anything you're not.
Right.
Doesn't that make it easy?
Yeah. Now, number two of our top 10 tips for finding a partner over 50 is get the word out. Tell people that you know that you're interested and that you're looking. Don't assume that they know. And even if they do know, they need to be reminded every now and then. Now, most people, even in today's society with the internet and, you know, online personals, most people still meet their soulmate through somebody they know. This is the most effective and the best thing you can do for yourself is to lean on your friends and your family. Lean on the people that know you, love you, care about you, and get their support in meeting somebody that's good for you to meet. Don't be shy about asking them. This is the best way to go.
Yeah. And not only don't be shy, tell them exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That too.
The third one is know where to mingle. And I say be aware and be everywhere. Okay, so you have to assess your interests and values. And David, you know, your four levels of attraction venues are wonderful. And I recommend that singles be everywhere. You know, look for your partner in a grocery store. I tell my classes, I walk into a grocery store, even though I'm a married woman, I do this research on behalf of my students. I walk into a grocery store, and I cast my eyes about for single men. And I approach them, and I chat them up, and, you know, I smile and engage them. If I can do it, you can do it. And I don't have an ulterior motive. I'm not looking for a date. So really think outside the box. Try something different. If it's joining a dating service or a singles group, if it's joining a club or some sort of activity, even going to places that you normally frequent at different times because you have different crowds. If it's a coffee shop you go to every Saturday morning, try it on a Wednesday evening. Just change it up a bit. So it's more about expanding your pond where you can fish in.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to say about that. I've heard a lot of singles tell me that, well, you know, they go to singles events and, you know, there's nobody there attracted to them. And I've been to singles events, you know, giving talks and doing book signings. And it's like everybody is scoping each other out and they're looking for this chemical hit, this strong attraction. And what I'd much rather see is people interested in just connecting, in real relationships, connecting, make friends, have fun. Because most people do find their soulmate through somebody they know. You know, what's wrong with making some friends? Maybe you're going to meet some great person who knows somebody that's perfect for you to meet. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you go to singles events and, you know, you're not attracted to anybody there or they all seem too old. You know, I've heard that before, too.
That's true. It just
tells me that this person is falling into the packaging trap. They're looking on the outside of all these people. They're not looking on the inside. They're not interested in connection as a real person.
Yeah, and you know what often helps? Is if you go to a singles event with a different purpose. And so maybe you're an author, maybe you're doing some research, but you're also single. And so that's a great icebreaker, is to talk to people and say, I'm writing this article, or I'm doing this, or I have this small business, and I'm interested in blah, blah, blah. And so all of a sudden, you don't feel so stilted and so confined by the motives of trying to find a partner. And it makes it much easier. You become more natural and more authentic.
Right. Make it a networking opportunity.
Yeah.
Make it an opportunity just to meet interesting people and friends.
Yep.
So tip number 4 is be clear about what you want in a relationship. And if you've read Conscious Dating and you've heard, you know, us talk before, you know that this is what we consider to be ultimately important. Be clear about your requirements. Don't be afraid to have them. Don't fall into the scarcity trap that, you know, oh my, you know, if I say no to people, then I'll be alone for the rest of my life. Remember that the person that is perfect for you is looking for somebody just like you, and your requirements will be met. Be clear about what they have. Use them as your scouting, sorting, and screening and testing tools. And realize that a relationship is not going to work without them. You know, have the attitude of, be the chooser and choose wisely. And we'll talk about the law of attraction later, but this is what helps the law of attraction help you. You know, if you settle for less, you're going to get less.
Yep, so very true. The 5th one is smile, speak up, and be friendly. And this is particularly important when you're dealing with shy guys and ISO gals, okay, because they probably won't make the first move. So something as simple as a smile and initiating conversation when you're standing beside someone, it doesn't have to be, you know, terrific, earth-shattering conversation. Just friendly, open, pleasant conversation. And just let who you are shine through. And who knows what'll happen.
You know, Frankie, I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers right now by sharing passage, a quote from the Conscious Dating book that I call the most controversial statement in the entire book. And it goes like this. You don't get what you want, what you need, or what you expect. You usually get what you deserve. And if you're not engaging people, you're not friendly, you're not smiling, you're not initiating contact, then you're probably going to be dateless, and you're probably getting what you deserve. So I'm sorry if that upsets you when I say it. If it upsets you, it probably means that it rings true for you. It's something for you to look at.
Very true, David.
So tip number 6 is dress for success. Now, many singles in their 50s, you know, they often feel like they're stuck between dressing too old or, you know, too young for their age. And, you know, if you're wondering, go ahead and dress the way is, you know, more youthful and makes you more attractive. It makes a difference in your appearance and your confidence level. What happens sometimes with older people is you don't go shopping very often. You go shopping less and less and less. And so the clothes you have get older and older and older. So along the lines of dress for success is, you know, go shopping every now and then. Update your wardrobe. You know, care about your appearance. Now, this isn't the same as the packaging trap. It's not about focusing on appearance. It's about caring about your appearance because what's inside shows up on the outside. So if you're wearing, you know, the same jeans that you've been wearing for 20 years or the same sport jacket or the same dress, you know, or the same worn-out shoes that you wore when you were working and now you retired, and you're not updating your life, you're not updating your wardrobe, what's inside shows up on the outside. Now, you're basically in a rut. You're basically just living, you know, through momentum and inertia. So dress for success.
I have met so many women in their 50s, are really beautiful women. They have terrific figures, but they wear these baggy tops, these long skirts down to their ankles, and it's not flattering. So if you've got the body, you know, use it. So let's go into number 7, is keep your date conversations positive. Nobody wants to hear about, you know, all the bad things that happened in your life and all the misfires of your relationships. So keep your conversations really positive. Don't reveal too much too soon. A little mystery goes a long way. And just enjoy learning about the person you're talking to. And conversation is a two-way street. So that means someone speaks, they stop, and the other person speaks. So that's how it works. And often people on dates, you know, have a tendency just to talk, and not let the other person get a word in edgewise. So, David?
I was just thinking along the lines of keeping your conversations positive. You know, don't talk about your health problems, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the list is long. Just keep it positive.
Yeah, the older you get, the more health problems you got, the more they occupy your time and your energy, and the more you talk about them, but it just becomes a trap. So number 8 is learn to listen and be flexible. You know, if you are getting older and you're getting a little more set in your ways and you're a little rusty about dating, and it's comforting to do what's familiar to you, that might not be what's most effective. So in dating and connecting with people, you know, if you're rusty at it, if you were an engineer and worked in a cubicle for 20 years and, you know, then you retired and then your wife died and this is all new and awkward for you, the best advice we can give you right now is to learn to listen. You know, many people handle their discomfort by talking. But the best way for you to handle your discomfort is to ask questions and listen. You'll be a much more effective conversationalist. You'll learn a lot more. You'll connect with people a lot more than if you handle your discomfort by talking.
Terrific. Thank you. Yeah. Well, number 9 is handing out your business card, because I think that's one of the best ways of leaving a door open when you've just met someone. And it's really nice because you may not be sure that they're interested, but it's just that little wedge in the door that says, hey, here's my information. If you want to contact me, I'm available, and here's how you do it. So if you don't prefer to provide a card that has your business information on it, it's really cheap to get cards printed up that look very professional, just maybe has your first name and an email address printed on it. It can be a Hotmail account or a Yahoo account, that type of thing. Really anonymous, but it works.
And for those of you that say, well, I'm not in business, I don't need a business card anymore, well, guess what? Business cards are cheap. Go to Vistaprint.com, and you can get some for free. And what you are doing is you are preparing for dating. You're preparing for meeting people. You want to be a successful single. You want to get out there and have an enjoyable life with other people in the world. And you will meet new people. Wouldn't it be nice to have a card that you can give them instead of looking for a napkin or to rip off a piece of a paper? And the law of attraction will help you when you anticipate that you want to meet people, you set your intention to meet people, and you have your cards all ready to go to meet people. So we don't need to call it a business card. We can call it a personal card. But it is something that you give to other people that lets them know that you're available. Here's your contact information. You want to make a connection. You would like to be friends. You're open to new relationships.
And the beauty of that, too, David, is that rejection doesn't enter into it, because you can give out a lot of cards to people, and the ones who are interested will call you or contact you, and the ones who aren't, that's good. Who cares?
Right.
Right?
So the 10th secret, the final secret or tip for finding love after 50 is to use your secret weapon. And what is your secret weapon? It's the law of attraction. It's the very simple but powerful and profound law of the universe that like attracts like. You cannot get away from it. So if you don't like the way your life is right now and you want to change it, then step into that new life that you want, do something about it, and if you build it, they will come. Now, if you go back over the data that we shared with you in this program, thanks to AARP, we know now that while 59% of singles over 50 are available, only 32% are doing anything about it. And those are the ones that the law of attraction is going to help. So the odds might be daunting to the uninformed, but now you are informed. And you know that like attracts like. And if you build it, they will come. And, there's a lot of available singles over 50, but the ones that are doing something about it are the ones that are going to be successful and find their soulmate.
Very true.
This is Myra. Earlier, Frankie, you had mentioned learning how to initiate conversation. And in the study guide, it talked about open-ended questions. Can you help? I'm kind of shy. I have difficulty with that.
Okay, well, let me give you a couple of examples. And I'm going to use the grocery store because that's level one. That's just out and about. Let's say you're in a grocery store and you see a man who is standing by the cantaloupes. So you could go over to him, and if he looks perplexed, you could say, "Are you having problems picking a cantaloupe? Do you want me to tell you how I pick them?" And you can pick one up and you can, you know, show them that you have to press the end and maybe smell the cantaloupe, that type of thing. Or if you see a man who seems to know what he's doing, selecting cantaloupes, you could go over and say, "You seem to know what you're doing. Can you tell me, how do I pick a ripe cantaloupe?" You know, it's that type of really innocuous banter that you can have with someone. You could be standing in line at the checkout, and you might notice that the man in front of you has pasta and mozzarella and tomato sauce, and so you could say, "Oh, looks like you're a chef. Are you making lasagna?" You know, and if he turns around and smiles at you, you can continue the conversation, and you could say, "You know, do you give cooking lessons to single women?" That type of thing. It's just flirtatious, light. There's no expectancy in terms of where it's going to go. It's just having fun. You know, and letting the delightful person that you are shine through. Does that help you, Myra?
It does somewhat.
Also, in the Conscious Dating book, we have two tools for you in terms of initiating contact. One is the power introduction, and the other is using the rule of three. So you can look those up in the Conscious Dating book.
Can you talk a little bit about open-ended questions?
You might say to someone, rather than "a nice day, isn't it?" You know, what's the person going to say, yes or no?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
If that's a closed question. But if you said, "That was a really horrendous rainstorm coming into the store. Did you get caught in it? I did." Like, start to initiate that type of conversation where there's back and forth.
Yeah, the thing is, if you are interested in people, and even if you're not, and you can pretend you are, and if you get in touch with your curiosity, I wonder where this guy got that tie. That's a really interesting tie. If you're in touch with your curiosity and you want to strike up a conversation and you find something to be curious about, then go ahead and ask. It's like, what a fascinating mustache. You know, how did you decide to shape it that way? You know, whatever is curious to you, then it'll be authentic. You're not just making up something, you know, phony just to have small talk like, hey, nice weather we're having, isn't it? You know, go ahead and follow your curiosity about the person that you're attracted to, that you'd like to initiate contact with.
Yeah, that helps. That I could work on.
All right, write it down right now. Well, before
yeah, I
forget.
Did. I did.
Thank you, Myra.
Thank you very much.
I don't have any problems initiating conversation, but how do you move to that next step of handing over your information, how somebody's going to get in touch with you again? Like, I don't understand how you go from A to C, and what's in between?
Well, how about the personal or business card idea? That it's very safe to just give somebody your card and say, hey, I'd love to hear from you. Here's my card. And they can, you know, they don't have to say yes or no or decide on the spot.
You know what I like, David, is your rule of three. And you can do that, especially in a grocery store. That's one of my favorite spots. You could see someone at the cantaloupe counter, disengage, walk down an aisle, see the person again. You could actually choreograph it so you're watching where the person's going, and you can accidentally bump into them again, initiate some more conversation like, oh, you know, good to see you again. Scoot into the next aisle, accidentally meet them again, third time's a charm, and say, you know what, this seems to be destiny. Here's my card. I'd love to have a coffee with you or chat with you if you're interested. Said, here's the key. If you are interested and available. All right? And if the person takes your card and just throws it in the garbage, that's fine. You'll never hear from them and you'll never know. But what if they call you? You never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
I guess it is. I think I must have a little bit of a mind block from going from one step to the next. So.
Mm-hmm. Just try not to be attached to the outcome. I think that's where people get hung up. They're so worried about what's going to happen. You may never see that person again, and it's really important to practice. Practice, practice, practice. The more you do it, the easier it becomes until, you know, you're just handing out cards left and right and you're getting a whole bunch of contacts.
So do you suggest that it's just a name and an email, or do you include a phone number, or
well,
does it matter?
Definitely not your home phone number. So
okay.
If you have a cell phone that can't be traced in terms of address,
yeah.
That's what I would recommend.
And you can have a voicemail number that is not your home phone number. And one thing I'd recommend is just to flip through the Conscious Dating book and review the rule of three.
Okay.
It's very simple. It's step by step. Just do what it says. And like Frankie says, practice it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're anxious and you're nervous and you're uncomfortable, it helps to have some structure. So that's why it's in there. It's giving you structure. Don't think, just do this, and then that.
Hello, this is Judy, and I'm listening in. I'm a relationship coach, but it just occurred to me that Myra asked a question about and a concern about being able to just walk up to somebody and start talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,000 years ago when I was a single person, somehow it got to me that in truth, most men were more afraid of starting up a conversation than I was.
Yeah.
And so if I'm dealing with, or if I'm imagining that maybe 50% of the population of men is going to be either the shy or the dreamers, and the swashbucklers and the Romeos probably won't care anyway, but they'll be friendly. They'll be friendly anyway. I mean, they won't care. But the shy and the dreamers would probably totally appreciate me saying something rather benign.
Absolutely.
Judy, they'd love you.
Absolutely. Right on. You nailed it.
So good luck, Myra. Go for it.
Go for it.
Thank you, Judy.
I was trying to figure out what type of dater I was and whether it was the best for me.
I would suggest you you go through the study guide and you see with what resonates for you, where you have been and where you want to be. Because where you are or have been might not be where you want to be. And that's the wonderful thing about this information. And, you know, really, I stumbled on it researching for this program. I'm so glad I found it. It really puts it in a wonderful perspective. And you get to choose. You're not stuck with where you are. You get to have the life you want. You get to be how you want. Pick the one that you want to be.
Now, I would say I'm a non-exclusive data. How do I get to be an exclusive data?
Logical question. It speaks to the difference between recreational dating and committed dating. So if you've been a non-exclusive dater simply because you haven't found somebody that you really want to settle down with, but what you really want is somebody to settle down with, then practice committed dating. And committed dating is using the four steps for conscious dating of scouting, sorting, screening, and testing. And you're not getting involved with anybody that doesn't align with what you're looking for, not even for two dates. And the key to committed dating is staying available so that you can find the one you're looking for. And non-exclusive daters, they don't want to be alone. You know, they want to go out on dates.
Yeah.
They want to have fun.
Maybe I'm not ready for it yet.
Well, only you can decide if you're ready or not. And first you have to decide what you want. So are you a non-exclusive dater because that's what you want? Or do you really, you know, want to settle down with one person? So start with what you want and then look at whether or not you're ready for it. And you can take the relationship readiness quiz to help you decide whether or not you're ready for it.
Okay.
To find the relationship readiness quiz, go to www.readinessquiz.com. Make it easy for you. And that will help you look at the areas of readiness that you feel ready or maybe you're not ready. But start with what you want. Do you want to play the field, date different people? Do you not want to be with one person? Or do you want to be with one person? And if you do, you have to be available to find the right person, which means you're going to practice scouting, sorting, screening, and testing. You're not going to be just dating anybody who will have you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. It's really hard after being married so long to get back into the dating game, and I never liked it in the first place.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're forced into this sometimes. But what are good places to, I'm trying to find a way to expand my social circle to meet more people. I tend to, my work environment and my friends are all women. And I just, you know, want to be in a place where I can mingle with men and women. And I live in a sort of small city, so many people know me and know my soon-to-be ex, and I just feel shy about the whole process because so many people know us, and I'll probably live here until I die, so it's hard to get back into this, and I just don't even exactly know what I'm asking. Good places to meet people, good organizations, good, just some suggestions in that vein.
Well, one thing that I'm hearing is that, you know, you're soon to be ex, meaning you're recently out of a relationship. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not ready to just jump into your next relationship, but
no,
you do want to get out there.
I just want to, you know, because of a sad situation and forced into this, you know, when your spouse has an affair and leaves you. So I just need to widen my social circle. And I'm not ready for dating yet, but I am ready to meet new people and make new friends because you lose some when you have a divorce.
Right. So in the Conscious Dating book, we talk about the four attraction venues. And these venues can be used for finding friends
mm-hmm.
as well as dating.
Mm-hmm.
And we even try to advise singles to relax about the dating thing because they get so attached to finding a partner mm-hmm. that they end up following what we call the Lone Ranger trap. Is this the one? No. Is this the one? No. Is this the one? No. In the meantime, you know, they're isolated. They're alone because they're so focused on finding a partner. And we try to get them to relax and, hey, focus on making friends. Focus on building your support community. Because given that most people find their soulmate through somebody they already know, then focus on the friends and family and network you already have and build a network that will support you to have the life and find the life partner that you really want. So this is where you are in your life right now. Focus on your friends and make new friends and build your community so that your social and emotional needs are met while you're single. And dating will come, and finding somebody that you're attracted to will come, but for now, you just want to get out there and have fun and make some friends and do some things that you enjoy and places you enjoy with people you enjoy. And so the attraction venues is one paradigm for planning how to approach that. So I want you to focus on the level 3 and level 4 venues.
Yeah. Talking to somebody in the grocery store probably wouldn't work for me.
No, that's a level 1 venue. And,
yeah.
You know, you do it if you're extroverted. You do it for practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but really, to make friends, the level 3 and level 4 venues, you know, clubs, organizations, groups, classes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And this is exactly what you need right now. And go ahead and have fun and make new friends and, you know, create the life that you really want. Get your social emotional needs met while you're single. You have quite an opportunity here. You get to move on from a past that didn't work for you to create your life the way you really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane, it's also a wonderful opportunity to reconnect with yourself and to reassess what's important to you, what you want your future to look like. It's a perfect time for that.
I'm finding that out. A lot. I'm starting to feel like myself again when you feel like you've been oppressed for a long time.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm getting happier every day, which is a good thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So I just want to thank everyone for participating. We really appreciate your comments and your questions and your attendance. So thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next month for Conscious Internet Dating, Finding Love on Your Computer. So have a good month.